Hello and welcome to Books on the Go, a podcast where we talk about our book of the week. I'm Anna Bailey-Karras and I'm here with Annie Waters. Hi, Annie.
Hello.
And it's the holiday season, well, coming up.
Even though
I'm in denial. So we thought this week we would do our holiday reading recommendations and TBR, because some of them we haven't quite read yet, but we've been saving them up for the holidays.
But first, book news,
and we've got a follow-up this week. It is another TikTok story, so my daughter would be mortified that I'm talking about TikTok. But last week or recently, and Amanda and I talked about how on the TikTok app you can now buy the books directly, which is great because they've collaborated with, including with independent bookstores. And the follow-up story that I thought was interesting is someone's actually studied the impact that this has had, and they've studied young people age 16 to 25 who have said 40%, I haven't got the figures, Annie, you might remember, said that TikTok has given them a passion for reading.
Mm.
So they had not been really reading for pleasure until they sort of saw this happening on TikTok.
Isn't that amazing?
Got into it.
Mm.
Which is sort of anecdotally, that's why I've been so supportive of it, because I think it's getting people to read who wouldn't normally necessarily be reading fiction. But it was really interesting that someone's now studied this. I think it was in the UK and it really backed that up.
At our conference this year, we get Nielsen Book Data, who gather information about all independent and big book retailers in Australia, and put together a report about trends and all of that. And they had a whole section on TikTok trends, BookTok trends.
Oh.
And the interesting thing from that was, I mean, the growth was phenomenal.
Yes.
But especially backlist growth. So, you know, usually your top 20 titles or your top 100 titles will be released in the last year or maybe in the last 3 years of new formats kind of being coming out and people getting a bit of a spike again for sales. But what BookTok is doing is opening up a whole new generation of readers to books that have been published over the last 10 or 15 or 20 years. So, you know, books like, I mean, all of the Colleen Hoover backlist is going off. So I think it was the most backlist titles in a top 10 that we'd ever seen.
Yeah, and Taylor Jenkins Reid.
Yeah, even Madeline Miller, people like that.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are some really just of the moment books, but there are definitely some books that have stood the test of time and are obviously affecting people.
Been discovered.
Exactly, rediscovered. Yeah, which I think is wonderful. And it's essentially word of mouth, you know, it's the way that a book club functions, but on such a bigger scale. And I think, I mean, the publishing industry is jumping on it and trying to reverse engineer it, but I really like that the BookTokers are quite immune to that, or seem to be.
Yeah.
That, you know, they like what they like and they don't want to be told you have to read this because Penguin Random House says so.
Yeah.
It's much more like, no, this other 16-year-old person has really enjoyed it and therefore you will too. So,
yes. Yeah,
I like that it seems like it's got a level of authenticity.
Yes, I think it's a really positive thing. Mm. So I enjoyed that article. The question for our listeners is, should Annie and I, or Books on the Go, be on TikTok? I think I know the answer. Annie's
My face says it all. No.
Well, I just wondered if we should be – no, okay.
It's not me. If you want to do it, I think your daughter will have a fit though.
Oh, no, she won't let me. No, no. She would go – she wants to go on it, but and I won't let her because I think she's too young. So I just feel like –
maybe she can be our ambassador.
But if that's where the discussion is moving
–
that's why I was sort of asking the question, do we need to move? I know that that will mean the end of TikTok, as Amanda was saying last week.
I think, though, as well, it's not geared at us. Again, at this conference, she showed a few clips of people who kind of were getting into these books that they were and there's whole different genres of types of videos. I'm sorry if this is explaining to people who are already on TikTok. But, you know, so there's kind of a mood board and you put together visuals of, you know, what the scenery or the kind of characters might look like in your head, and you play a song over the top of it.
Oh,
and so it's like
that.
And then
I couldn't do it, but I love it.
Yeah,
so
and it takes
creative.
So much editing and like time to kind of put these things together. And then the other one was really emotional videos of you finishing a book or reading a really emotional scene and kind of really emoting on camera, you know, showing all your feelings about a certain book. And again, that's just not me. Like, I very rarely cry in a book. And never, like, I think I've cried enough in a book to try and take a picture of my face one time, and then it didn't even look like I'd been crying.
I'd love the sort of Annie version of TikTok where it's, I'm finishing the end of the book and you get the video and it's just Annie not being emotional.
Just me sitting there reading. Oh, people film themselves doing speed reads and or like, you know, over the course of a day, like finishing a whole book and just being so devoted to it and then making it like cutting it up into a little video. Anyway, it's
fun.
It's cute. It's not for me.
No, I don't think I could pull it off. All right. Well, we've decided that. So now on to our holiday reads. And I think Annie will kick us off.
Great.
What's your first recommendation?
So the one that I'm reading at the moment and I'm absolutely loving is Willow Man by Inga Simpson. So she's written a few that I've read before. My favourite of hers is Where the Trees Were, which I think she was nominated for the Miles Franklin for a few years ago. But she's also written books called Nest, Mr. Wig.
So an Australian
one.
Author.
She's an Australian author. So, yeah, this is the great Australian cricket novel that's never been written, which might put some people off. And I have heard reviewers and comments from people who've read it saying that you don't necessarily need to like cricket to enjoy it. I think you probably need to have not a hatred of cricket. There is a lot of cricket in it, which is understandable, it being
cricket,
about cricket.
So
yeah, I think you'll really enjoy it. So the central character is there's two central characters. There's a young man called Todd Harrow, who is an up-and-coming player. You meet him when he's kind of 16, 17 and just on the cusp of being selected for one of the national teams. And he is being followed closely by a bat maker who's in his 60s. He's divorced. He's estranged from his daughter, and he kind of just his whole life is cricket. He grows willow in Australia and carves bats from the willow that he makes here.
This is
and
fantastic.
He carves a bat especially for this young player, and so he sends it to him, and you kind of see the rise of, you know, this person's career. I think I'm only halfway through, but I suspect there's going to be a pivot at some point and he's going to either have an injury or some kind of complication. But so far, he's just having a dream run.
That doesn't bode well,
no,
does it?
No, no. But what I'm loving about it, I mean, she always writes really sincere, genuine characters. There's such a warmth to it. It obviously has that real authentic feel of a cricketing summer. So cricket tragics will love it.
Yes.
And I think anyone who likes good Australian character-driven fiction and can put up with the cricket will enjoy it as well.
Fantastic. Well, that's interesting because one of the things I was thinking for holiday reads is that I've obviously got some fiction recommendations, but sometimes you can really get into a non-fiction on holiday. And I noticed I walked past the bookshop and didn't go in, Annie.
Very proud of you.
I'm still on my book ban. But I, of course, looking through the window...
just imagining you like a dog outside a butcher.
It was exactly like that. But there's a Shane Warne biography. So
oh, yeah.
if you're into the cricket, if you want to go all in on the immersion, and I read a great book called The Art of the Century last summer, I think it was, or the one before, over the summer while the cricket was on in the background, which was fantastic, by a British author about the discipline and the psychology and all the things that go into scoring a century, which is much more interesting than you might at first
think. Yeah.
So this sounds like a lovely fiction option for the...
When I think cricket is a sport that lends itself to writing long elegiac writing because often, you know, it's a sport where not much appears to happen during the tests especially. So I think there is a lot of filler, and that's part of what I love, you know, listening to the radio commentary and just hearing all the stories and hearing these people fill time over, you know, what can be 5 days of pretty steady action is part of what I love. So I think this book is a really good testament to that. So yeah, I can't wait to finish it.
It's kind of that culture. It's a
totally.
Whole culture, isn't it? So that's Willow Man by Inga Simpson. Thank you, Annie. So I was thinking about the different categories and types of books that I like reading on holidays. One is a sort of a sweeping novel you can just get immersed in.
Like a saga.
Generous, like a saga. And one that I'm reading at the moment and almost finished actually that I've really enjoyed is The Whalebone Theatre by Joanna Quinn. And I thought this would be a fun holiday read because it is a fun immersive book to read. It's a sweeping tale. It's a family saga essentially, and it also has a coastal setting for part of it. So it's set in partly in Dorset in the UK and it really evokes that coastline. So that gives you the beach vibes, but it also then they go to World War II. So not so beach vibey there, but an interesting take on World War II and some of the people who participated and who signed up and in particular what some of the women were doing. So it's just a great story, great characters.
What's the story about?
Well, it's about this family who have a big house on the coast or near the coast in Dorset, and the author grew up in Dorset, so she knows all that area really well. But it's sort of a broken family. So you have the main character is Christabel, who's a really serious child and frowns quite a lot and doesn't suffer fools and is very focused on being a theatre director at the age of, you know, okay, at the age of five.
Yeah.
And they don't really go to school. So they're reading Shakespeare and they're reading the Iliad, and they decide to put on plays, just the children. She has two half siblings, Digby and Flossie. And you sort of see them growing up, essentially. So they're starting in the 1920s and then as children, and then, of course, they all have to face World War II as young adults, and that changes their lives, of course. But there are the other characters. Their mother is this wonderfully drawn character, not particularly likeable, but really rings true. And then their Christabel has a different father to the other two, but just quite a fun, a really warm book.
Yeah.
So I think a good holiday read. My hesitation is with these bigger books that they're, if you're taking the hardback or even the paperback, they're quite chunky. So,
but that's okay. If you just have to take one, yeah, that's okay.
That's right. It's a packing issue. Mm. We can always
buy it in a bookshop while you're on holiday and then leave it at your holiday destination.
That's right. There are always solutions to these things. So that's The Whalebone Theatre by Joanna Quinn. What's
great
next for you,
Annie? Well, yeah, I was also thinking about different categories of holiday reads, and one of my favourites is crime. I know we talk about crime quite a bit. But so an interesting crime novel that I read this year that people might not have heard of is called Better the Blood, and that's by Michael Bennett. And he is a Maori man from New Zealand, and it focuses around a Maori policewoman who gets wrapped up in a serial killer who is killing people in New Zealand and carving quite intricate patterns into their body or nearby their body. So it's what I really liked about, I mean, it's a really good pacey thriller for one. You kind of get that contrasting perspective between the person who's doing these crimes and then the person who's trying to solve them. So you always feel like you're a bit ahead of the action in terms of where the police force are up
right.
to.
So you get the perpetrator's point of view.
Yeah,
well.
Yeah, kind of an over their shoulder. And so you're seeing these crimes happen and then seeing them be discovered. So you always feel a bit like, oh, I know something that the police are yet to find out, which I like. But there's also a bit of interesting cultural stuff. Because she's a Maori policewoman, she has had some conflicting issues within her own community because they see the police as this kind of colonizing, oppressive force. And she was involved in particular in an incident several years prior where she had to move a bunch of protesters on, and it was felt that the Maori police force would be the best people to kind of deal with their own community in that sense. But she now feels like she's a traitor and they feel like she has betrayed them. So she's kind of going through that. There's also the kind of somewhat hackneyed, you know, misuse of alcohol and drugs.
Yeah.
She and the police chief have a daughter together, but they don't live together. So there's a bit of messiness going on there, and the daughter is about 16 and kind of going through her own stuff. So, you know, there's lots of elements there to be tied up, and a really good pacey thriller about set somewhere where I have very rarely read fiction.
Oh, fantastic.
Set.
Yeah, I haven't read much fiction from New Zealand,
yeah,
actually.
Not much gets published here. I mean, Kate DeGoldie is one of my favourite writers, and I think actually New Zealand has a really high proportion of really great writers. It's like one of those little incubators like Tasmania or Scotland,
yes,
somewhere like that, where it's cold, not a lot to do. And, you know, you can.
I love our simplification of New Zealand
this is
life.
This is all it takes to be a good writer, you know. You just need enough time to spend inside.
If we just lived in New Zealand.
Exactly,
Annie, yeah.
Exactly. But there does seem to be a really strong writing community there, and the writers that I have read coming out of New Zealand are great. But obviously there's not much cut through even to Australia. So I imagine for our international audience, they might not have read much from that area either.
Yes. That sounds good, Annie. Better the Blood by Michael Bennett. I had a crime idea as well, but first, going back to my big sweeping story, the other alternative I had to the Whalebone Theatre was The Paper Palace by Miranda Cowley Heller.
Oh, okay.
Just because it's that compulsive read. So the Whalebone Theatre has quite an English sensibility, and it's a beautiful match, I think, of the tone and sensibility and the place, whereas The Paper Palace is American. So it's a bit more like the Taffy Brodesser Ackner Fleischman is in Trouble vibe of, you know,
sassy rich, and smart.
Sassy, smart, rich white people behaving badly. Is what you're getting. But again, it's what made me think of it for a holiday read, apart from that it's quite a page turner and it's well written, is that it is set in a holiday, their holiday house on the lake.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where all the action happens. It's a, you know, it's a book that I couldn't say I sort of, you don't love the characters, so it makes it harder to love.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Whalebone Theatre, you're really feeling for the characters. But The Paper Palace, another one you can just get really swept away.
Because that was a Reese's book club pick, wasn't it?
Probably.
Yeah. Like it's got that vibe of just solid, good read. What's it? Yep. I don't actually even know what it's about.
It starts off with there's a woman, is the main character, I've forgotten all the names, but she is married and I think they have children and they're going back to the house they always stay in. It's her family holiday home from memory, and maybe there's a couple of them, a couple of these houses dotted along. And so they have family friends, and she has always had this crush on, I don't know if that's quite the right description, but she's had this tension with the boy next door, sort of the family friend, the boy who, and they've been estranged, or he's been away, she's been away, I can't remember. Anyway, she makes some choices in relation to that very early in the novel, and so then that plays out. But you also then go back in time to find out how did it all go wrong between them in the first place, which is quite dramatic.
Okay.
So that's fun, but also you're just sometimes just cringing saying, oh, she's behaving terribly. But it also, you know, it's an interesting one for book club because it verges on the, well, is that realistic? And it sort of is and it is, you know, you sort of think, well, maybe someone would do that. You sort of get into all those discussions.
Mm.
So as I said, just rich white people.
Yeah.
Behaving
love
pretty
to judge
badly.
Great.
Yeah, I thought it was quite well written
though. Yeah, okay,
that's
good.
Probably what elevated it for me.
Good to know.
Yes. What else have you
all
got?
Right, well, my final choice is just a lovely read if you want something nice that you're going to laugh, you're going to cry. It's called The 100 Years of Lenny and Margot, and it's by Marianne Cronin. And it's about two people who meet in hospital, a palliative care hospital. Lenny is 17 and Margot's 83. So you know from the start that they've both got these conditions that are going to mean that their lives are not going to be much longer. But they are really zappy, fun people, and they meet in an art class and really form a bond. And so Lenny bullies her way into the over 80s art class rather than hanging out with the people of her own age because they're just vapid and boring.
I love it.
She and Margot just, form a real connection, and over the course of 6 or so months they do these art classes and share their stories. So they decide that they're going to put on an exhibition of 100 pieces because their ages added together are 100, and each of them will share a story from each year of their life. Yeah, it's really beautiful, and it's heartwarming. It is funny. It's a really interesting look at life and death, and I guess the pragmatism that comes along with, especially when you're a young person and going through something like that. Yeah, it just is gorgeous. You could recommend it to anyone. I've had lots of customers. One woman read it aloud to her husband over several, weeks, and they both just loved it. So it's a stunning sit on a deck or on a beach. And
I haven't heard of that. That sounds really
good. Yeah, it's been a bit of a sleeper one. I actually got recommended it by a customer who said, this is one of the best books I've ever read. And it is just a really lovely read.
Well, I did hear someone, I think an editor in the UK on a podcast I was listening to, when they were asking about trends, and this is going back a little while now, but she said it's really interesting since Eleanor Oliphant, which was sort of the loneliness theme, she's seen a lot of books that touch on the loneliness, but with that, obviously, the companionship, because you don't want to just be lonely.
That's the starting point of the
just
story,
about
exactly.
loneliness. But also she noted that there have been these books with the older and the younger generation forming friendships or bonds.
That's I think it's definitely
thing.
One of my publishers calls it uplit. Yes. So it's like uplifting fiction. It's relatively light, but it does deal with some serious issues. But you can just read it and feel like you're going to have a good time. You know, it's not weighty. It's not huge, big war fiction. It's not too taxing in terms of reading, but you feel like you've got a warmth and a connection.
That reminds me, I still have to read Lessons in Chemistry you recommended, exactly. Which has been going really well.
Very similar kind of vibe.
I gather you'd know better than me, but during COVID, the uplit sort of category has been huge because people are turning to the comfort reads and even in the crime genre, they want
cozy crime,
more of the cozy or more of the Richard Osman style rather than too grisly, do you find?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think people have a lot going on in their own lives, and so when they turn to fiction, they just want something that's light and relatable and not necessarily devoid of devastation, but dealt with in a more gentle way, I guess. Yeah.
That sounds really good. So I then did think about crime, and I really want to read more crime. I think what happens to me is because it's really one of my favorite genres, but I save it up as a treat almost because I think, well, I can read that later. I'll look forward to it. And so I don't feel like I've read enough crime this year. I don't think we even did a crime episode.
Maybe we didn't. Yeah,
no. I feel overdue to read some crime, but the ones that I sort of save up are the new Dervla McTiernan, The Murder Rule, which I still haven't read. That she's amazing, so I'm dying to read that one. That's a standalone. Mm-hmm. And I did love the first two Richard Osman, The Thursday Murder Club and The Man Who Died Twice. And the new one is The Bullet That Missed. And again, I've seen it in the shops. Obviously not buying anything now, but I've thought, well, I'll read that sometime. Mm-hmm. But again, that's more of a cozy. I love his humour.
Yeah.
So I just enjoy that. Well, I've enjoyed the first two, so hopefully that's up to it. One that I heard about that sounded like a great holiday read was Miss Aldridge Regrets by Louise Hare. Have you heard about this?
No, not at all.
It's a jazz singer in London, sort of historical, so it might be going back to the 50s, 60s, and she's having a really bad time. So she gets an offer she can't refuse that she would have refused except that something terrible's happened. I think she saw a murder or something. So she ends up going on this cruise. So she's on the Queen Mary. Then it all comes unstuck. So it's been described as the woman in cabin 10 meets the Titanic because you've
locked room murder.
This sort of locked room mystery. Agatha Christie style mystery with this glamorous cruise ship setting, and it also touches on race and class issues because I think she's English Jamaican. It sounds amazing. In terms of what would be a good holiday crime read, that just ticked all the boxes.
That's a great premise.
Isn't it? So that's the Miss Aldridge Regrets by Louise Hare. And the one that I have read this year that I really enjoyed and you can get stuck into Agatha Christie style is The Paris Apartment by Lucy Foley. So it's in an apartment building which is almost becomes a character in Paris, and that a murder happens or a disappearance. Maybe it's a disappearance. Maybe the main character has disappeared and his sister arrives to stay with him and he's not there. I think that might be the setup. I could be wrong. And then it's the characters who live in the building. So you get to meet them and they all know something and they've all got secrets, and one of them can sort of see from their window into someone else's apartment. And so it just is a really good mystery.
That sounds fun.
Yeah. So I can recommend that, but please send me some crime recommendations because I need to stock up now. Well, I can't really buy them, but I can put them on my Christmas list.
Yeah, that doesn't count.
Yes, that would be good. Anything else on your list, Annie?
Well, I've brought one. I just got sold it in yesterday, actually, and I took the proof home immediately because the premise was so good. So it's called The Bandit Queens by Perini Shroff. And the premise is that there's a woman living in a small town in India whose husband dies unexpectedly. And she hasn't murdered him, but lots of the women in the town think that she has. And so they come to her and think, well, I'd like to have my husband murdered as well. So it sounds a little bit like My Sister, the Serial Killer, which we loved. And it's also been compared to How to Kidnap the Rich, which you and I read and really enjoyed. And another book called Love After Love, which I don't know of. So it sounds quite funny, you know, a bit of a pacey, not even whodunit, but will she do it, I guess. And sounds great. Can't wait.
Well, and also the mystery of how did her husband die?
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, he might have just had a heart attack, but who knows?
Who knows? There's a Japanese book, and now I won't remember the title or the author of it, but they're at the women working in the factory, and they do have a business killing husbands.
Oh.
Yeah. It's quite gruesome though, so yeah, it might not be as
lighthearted. I mean, I don't know how light this is. I've not read it.
I love that we just have all these opinions. We haven't read the book yet.
No, of course not. But anyway, so that's not out till March next year. So hopefully I'll read it over my holidays and let you know.
Yes, do. Oh, very good. Speaking of nonfiction, there were two that I thought of. One that's on my wish list for the holidays, inspired by Adelaide Writers Week, which is the biography of Tom Stoppard by Hermione Lee, which I think could be quite a chunky, but something I would read on holiday. Mm. And the other one that we touched on during the year is The Palace Papers by, was it Tina Brown?
Oh, yeah.
Which, again, a fun, that would be a
scandalous.
Fun, scandalous holiday read if you haven't caught up on that in the wake of all the events this year. Mm. And back to sport biographies, there's the Shane Warne for the cricket lover in your life, and then there's one on Roger Federer, and there's one by Ash Barty. It might be her autobiography.
Yes. Yeah, I'm keen to read that. That's on my shelf.
Yes.
That
so
sounds great.
That's just in the tennis and cricket season, which we are in Australia.
Yeah.
Apologise to those in the Northern Hemisphere. But a bit of nonfiction can be good. But I haven't read them yet. We'll
Who
have
knows?
To see. We'll
That's
have to
the report. Promise of the holidays.
That's it. We'll report back. I'm still reading the shelf, so these might have
Indeed.
To wait for a
Which,
little while.
Which, speaking of, I think we're doing one next week that is from your shelf, the longest standing member of your TBR.
It is. We're going to tick it off one way or the other. So that's The Master and Margarita by Mikhail Bulgakov. And I can't tell you the translator, that's terrible, but we will tell you when we do it next week. So they were our holiday reading recommendations. Shall we quickly run through them? Mm-hmm. Annie had Willow Man by Inga Simpson, Better the Blood by Michael Bennett, The 100 Years of Lenny and Margot by Marianne Cronin, and The Bandit Queens by Perini Shiroff. And I don't even remember what I had. I had The Whalebone Theatre by Joanna Quinn, The Paper Palace by Miranda Cowley Heller.
And then lots of crime recommendations. Oh, The Paris Apartment.
Various crime, but The Paris Apartment by Lucy Foley. And then a couple of non-fiction in the mix. We had The Palace Papers by Tina Brown and biographies of Ash Barty, Shane Warne and Roger Federer in the mix as well.
Great. Let us know what you're reading for your holidays.
Yes, please do, and give us all the recommendations. And you can follow us on Facebook at Books on the Go. Email us at booksonthegopodcast@gmail.com. And I'm on Instagram, Twitter and Litzy at A. Bailey Karras. And Annie?
I'm on Instagram and Twitter at Mr_Annie.
Fabulous. We'll see you next week. Bye for now.
Bye.